You are listening to the Mid-Current Church Podcast. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and find us on Facebook and Instagram. And now, here is Pastor Sten Carlson with today's message.
About my wife from when she was a little girl is a story about her dessert side. A legend has it that when Erica was young, she would finish up at the dinner table declaring how full she was and making sure everybody knew that she could not possibly take another bite of food. And yet, all of that seemed to fly out the window as soon as dessert made its way onto the table. She wasn't too full for that. And when her parents would question her, reminding her that, you know, she just said that she was too full for another bite of food and that she could not possibly eat anything else. When she was reminded of this, she would confidently and quickly inform her parents that she had, in fact, a dessert side. Smart little girl, right? When I asked Erica for permission to tell a story about her today, she asked, well, what story are you telling? I said, I'm going to tell a story about how when you were a kid, you used to, you know, tell people you had a dessert side. And she responded with a smile and said, and I still do. Okay, anyone have a dessert side here? Okay, there's some hands going up. Anyone's kids still have a dessert side? Yeah, right? I mean, it's one thing as adults, we know we're, you know, making a bad choice. But it's funny how our kids, I think, can really convince themselves that they have a separate side, a separate compartment for dessert. It's funny how they think that, like, truly the dessert side is completely unrelated, totally unimpacted and unaffected by what happens on the other side. But what is not as funny, in my opinion, is the reality that you and I, as adults, we do the very, very same thing when it comes to our faith in our spiritual life. I think we have convinced ourselves that it's like a separate thing. It's got its own separate side. You see, the reality is we have a lot of important areas in our life. We've got our family life, we've got our professional life, our social life, our relational life, our recreational life, our leisure and our entertainment life. And then I think that we view our spiritual life as a separate thing over here. We go, yeah, you know, it's important to me. You know, I go to church. I love Jesus. I'm trying to be a better person. But it's all kind of over here. We go like, well, yeah, I'm all for it. But somehow I think we've convinced ourselves that it's unrelated, that it's largely unimpacted by everything else on the other side, by every other part of our life. Somehow we've convinced ourselves that one doesn't really seem to affect the other. It's our faith side. And it will keep it separate from other parts of our life. And the two parts of our lives where the divide is often the greatest, the two parts of our lives where the separation is often the most, in my opinion, is the separation between our spiritual life and our financial life. Yes, friends, you chose to come to church on Thanksgiving weekend, and we're going to talk a little bit today about money. And if I'm honest, I don't really apologize for it, or I don't talk about it nervously or hesitantly. If I'm really honest, I get a little bit bummed out by the fact that most people think it's inappropriate to talk about money in church. Too many people feel like, hey, these two things have you know, nothing to do with each other, faith and finances, right? They're not related. And so for too many people, they believe the church should be talking about it. And the second they do, too many people throw the penalty flag saying, nope, not okay to be talking about my financial life in church. But if we're serious about following Jesus, or if we're serious about just beginning to take steps in that direction, then we have to talk about it. Because Jesus talked about it a ton. It might not be entirely accurate to say that Jesus talked about money more than any other topic, as, you know, sometimes you'll hear people say, but he did talk about it a great deal. And it's not because God is greedy It's not because God is like anti-fun or doesn't want us to, you know, do fun things and have nice stuff. We do have to talk about it, you know, because our financial life is just not separate from our spiritual life. It's a major part of it. Our financial life is sometimes just a reflection of the state of our spiritual life. And so if you're here today, or if you've, you know, chosen to walk through the doors of this church at any point in the last 6 years of our life as a church, to me, that's an indication that there is at least some small desire of yours to grow in a relationship with Jesus and to start living maybe just a little bit more like he taught us to live. And so I want us to look at what Jesus taught about money. And as we do that today, here's the question I'd like to try and answer. It's very simple. Here's the question. What does Jesus want his disciples, right? That's any, you know, those of us who follow him. What does Jesus want us to know about money? Okay, if you're not yet a Jesus follower, then I've got good news for you. This doesn't necessarily apply to you. You can listen in today. You can give it a try. You could even play along with us if you wanted, but today may not be 100% for you. But if you are a Jesus follower, then that's the question I want to try to answer. What does Jesus want us to know? It's not the question, you know, what does Jesus want from us? It's not the question, well, how much money do we have to, you know, give away? It's not the question, well, how much is too much to have? It's not the question, like, what's too big of a salary for a Christian to have? It's none of that. That's not the question that we need an answer to. Very simply, that the question that I want to try to answer today is this. What does Jesus want us to know? What does Jesus want us to know about money? If faith and finances are connected in any way, then what do we gotta know? Jesus answers that pretty clearly in Matthew chapter 6. The chapter is a part of what is referred to as Jesus's Sermon on the Mount. It's his most like famous teaching to crowds of people about life and the kingdom. And so he's teaching everybody about prayer and about fasting and about caring for the poor and about love of your neighbor and even love of your enemies. And then he changes the subject to talk about material possessions. And then he starts to talk about the things that we treasure the most. And then he says this in verse 24 about money. Take a look. Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. But either way," he says, "you cannot serve both God and money." Okay, the word serve here that Jesus uses twice, can't serve two masters, you can't serve both God and money. That word serve here, it actually comes from the Greek word for slave or slavery, which is douleo. And a literal translation would read that you cannot be enslaved to, or you cannot be a slave to both God and money. Okay, now I understand why Bible translators chose the word serve instead, as slavery today obviously carries a lot more meaning. But in that day, this was, you know, unfortunately just kind of more common a thing that people would have been familiar with. And so Jesus uses this word douleo to refer specifically to the you know, the work of a slave as opposed to, say, an employee, right? Since a slave in that day was everybody knew, since a slave in that day was the sole property of one master, everybody knew that a slave must give his master exclusive service. And so Jesus's point here in using the same word to talk about serving God and money, Jesus's point here is that we too will be a slave, or we will be exclusively serving either God or money. But the exclusive nature of it means it can't be both. Here's the point. Ultimately, I think this is what Jesus wants us to know. A disciple's devotion cannot be divided. I think that's what the point he's trying to get across. A disciple's devotion cannot be divided. You see, gang, we've all got two choices. There's two paths to pursue in life. There's devotion to God and to the life that he's called us to, or there's devotion to money and to what we believe that it can do for us and what it can provide for us. And I think Jesus uses this slave master metaphor, this image, to help us see the exclusive nature of the choice that is in front of us. There's exclusive service and loyalty and devotion to God, or there's exclusive service and loyalty and devotion to money. And whichever we choose, it simply will not be possible for our loyalties, for our devotion to be divided. Okay, Jesus isn't saying like, I wish y'all would pick God. He's not saying like, oh, please give it a try. And he's not threatening. He's not saying, hey, pick God or else. I think he's just trying to help us to see that it's just not an option to do both. You'll pick one or the other, and whichever one you do, it just won't be possible for your devotion, for your loyalty to be divided. Let me show you what I mean. I think for most of us today, it is our financial life. I think it's our needs and our wants and our dreams and our desires that drive us, right? It's this part of our life. It's our financial part of our life that orders our steps and determines our priorities. And so we go, oh, you know what? Cool, the new titanium, you know, iPhone 15 is out. Gotta have that. You know, so we pre-order it to just make sure that we don't miss out. And then when we get it, we go, well, you know what? I can still keep a foot, you know, on my spiritual life. And so we're going, hey, I'm good. And then spring break rolls around and it's still minus 800 degrees here in the Midwest. And then we go, you know what? I mean, we gotta do that. You know, we gotta get the kids away on that dream vacation, making all those memories for our 2-year-old son, you know? And so we do the dream vacation and we think, you know what? Okay, well, this is cool. Well, you know, I can still kind of keep tabs on devotion to God and to what he's doing around us. And then what starts to happen is there's another shopping spree. And then there's a new car payment so that we can have an $80,000 living room on wheels, right? And then we get a bigger home and you know, we do a home renovation or we do a big backyard, you know, dream makeover. And here's the deal, folks. None of that stuff is bad. iPhones and vacations, none of that stuff is bad. But I think here's what Jesus wants us to understand, right? That as soon as you get up this high, it's a whole lot harder. It's a whole lot harder to still be devoted to the things of God and to the life that he has called us to. Sometimes your leg even starts to shake the higher you get up there. We realize it's just not possible to do both. Our devotion and our loyalty, it can't be divided. And here's the thing we got to understand. When Jesus is teaching, he's not mad at us. He's not trying to ruin our fun. He's not trying to squeeze every penny out of us. He's not trying to say that you can't do and have some of this stuff. That's not the point. He's just saying, look, gang, it's just not going to be possible to have your devotion, to have your loyalty be divided. And so the question then becomes, what does devotion to God look like then? The reality is, I think most of us, we want a number. We're black and white. We want a number, we want an amount, we want a percentage. We're like, just tell me what it is. Like, what does it cost to love Jesus? And I'll, you know, we just want someone to tell, make it easy for us. But the reality is, I'm not sure it's a specific number. I'm not even totally sure that it's necessarily a specific percentage, but what I am convinced of is that it's a posture of our heart and it's a priority that we establish in our lives and in our families. See, if I had to guess, I would say that most people in the world list their priorities in life like this, right? I think most people go, we live first, we live our lives, we do the things we gotta do, we pay the bills we gotta pay, we have the fun we wanna have, then we save a little bit for a rainy day, and then we'll give if we have anything left over. I think for the majority of people in the world, this is the priorities: live, save, give, if we can. But for those of us who are truly devoted, committed to joining God in God's mission to love and to save and to change the world, then I think here's what God has asked of us. The book of Proverbs, in all of its wisdom, says it like this to the people of God. Here's what it says: honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Okay, we're told to give the first part of what we have. And if you'll notice, that's not a specific number that we're encouraged to give, but rather it is a renumbering of our priorities. Give the first part of what you have back to God. Right? So in my estimation, undivided loyalty, undivided devotion to God, it begins not with a specific number, but just with a renumbering of our priorities. So rather than live, save, and then maybe give, as Jesus followers, I think we're encouraged to flip the script, to give first. The very first part of everything we have back to God, right? 10% is often has been kind of the traditional standard in the church, right? We give first, and then we save for the things in life that we know we need to be prepared for. And then we live on the rest. I think this is the encouragement, right? Renumber our priorities. Give, save, then live on the rest. My wife, Erica, and I, no matter what our life looks like, we give at least the first 10% of everything we have back to the work of God here at MidCurrent. And then we save roughly about 10% for retirement or for the kids' college or for our own rainy day fun, because, man, being an adult is really fun sometimes, okay? And then we live on the rest. We give first, always, no matter what. Then we save, and then we live on the rest. And the reality is, for us, that means we say no to a lot of things that we wish we could say yes to. But for us, for our lives, for our family, it's more important to get our priorities in order. So we give first, always. Then we save, and we live on whatever we have left. And if our priorities in order, this is not just Erica and me anymore, this is all of us. If our priorities are in order, then here's the truth, that we always have something we can give to God. If our priorities are in order, we always have something we can give to God. See, oftentimes I'll hear from people who love Jesus and they're so excited about what God is doing around them, and they'll say to me, they're going, "Sten, hey, I'm so excited about what I'm seeing," and they'll tell me, "I wish I could be giving right now. I wish I could be giving more right now, but I can't because, fill in the blank. Wish I could, but I just can't right now because of one thing or the other." And before I finish this thought, let me just say that there is no judgment in what I'm about to say next. I'm not insensitive to some of the challenging situations that we find ourselves in, some of the unforeseen circumstances that come our way. I get it, right? For the majority of my marriage, Erica and I, and now the kids, we've lived off of one income, my income alone. And I'll just say that if like money was the goal in life, I probably would have picked a different profession. Okay, so we get it. Okay, we know what it's like to be in some tough spots. We know what it's like to not have a ton to begin with, and then to have life happen to us. Okay, we know what it's like to have your, you know, like new car get smashed 4 months after you bought it, and then a week later to have your washing machine break, and then a week later to put $400 worth of fillings in your youngest son's mouth at the dentist. Hashtag worst parents ever. Okay, that's no joke. That's been the last like 4 weeks from us. Smashed car, broken washing machine, $400 for cavities in baby teeth. They're gonna fall out soon. I digress, okay? I'm not asking for sympathy. I'm just trying to explain to you that I understand some of the unforeseen circumstances that come our way. That's life. That's the fun of being an adult. But here's the thing, and this is the hard part that I said I wanted to share. And I don't say it with any bit of insensitivity or shame or judgment. Here's the hard part that I want to share. For most people, exceptions, sure, but for most people, okay, it's not that you can't give back to God. Right? For most people, I would say, you just have not chosen to. I don't say that lightly, and I don't say that with any insensitivity. Most of the time, it's not that we can't. Most of the time, we just have not chosen to. And that's what makes it feel like it's impossible. Because here's the deal, friends. Here's what I want you to understand. If God simply wants the first part of what we have, then here's what we've got to know, right? You don't have to have a lot. This is what you got to know. You don't have to have a lot to give God the first of what you have. You don't have to have a lot to give to God the first of what you have. It's not a certain amount of money that triggers our commitment to God. It's not a raise that activates a giving spirit in us. And it's not an unexpected turn of events that turns off that giving spirit in us. It's a choice that we make to demonstrate undivided devotion to God. It's a choice that we make. I've often heard it said that more money doesn't make us more generous. We think, well, if I had more, then I would be some generous. I've often heard, no, more money doesn't make us more generous. More money just makes us more of what we already are. Right? So it is a choice that we make to demonstrate undivided devotion, undivided loyalty, undivided commitment to the work of God around us by giving back to God first. None of these unforeseen circumstances have impacted how Erica and I choose to give back to God first. We give first no matter what. It's non-negotiable. It's not an argument. It's not even a conversation in our house. We give first no matter what, always, and we figure out how to do life on the rest. And gang, God has never failed us yet. In fact, I'd say he is better to us than we deserve. And so we're reminded again and again and again that we don't have to have a lot to give God the first of what we do have. Now, let me just pause here and acknowledge for a second that this might feel a little uncomfortable. I get it. I understand that this doesn't always, this isn't, you know, what you were all excited to come to church for today. I get it. So it raises the question then, like, why do this? Why take the time to give a message like this? I'm no dummy. I know it's not a popular subject in church. I know that, you know, y'all are going like, well, this is awkward, okay? It's not necessarily a pastor's favorite thing to talk about either, but it's still really, really, really important that I do, and it's not because, you know, we want something from you. I mean, I think a lot of people have had experiences in church where, you know, they have this feeling that it's like the church just wants money. That's not us. We don't want here for your money. We want something for you. But that's not us. We don't just want your money, okay? It's not what we're talking about this. And it's not because we're mad at you. It's not because we're like, ah, oh, you people, right? You got, this is 6 years. Look at what God is doing. And that's all because of your generosity. We're not mad at you. It's not, we're not talking about this because we're like struggling to pay the bills. And you know, like next week, like, well, I might not have toilet paper and the rest. Like that's, it's not because I'm trying to move our staff meetings from like the conference room to, you know, San Pedro Cafe for lunch every week. That's not why I'm talking about any of this today. I am talking about this today with a bunch of people who I do believe love Jesus and want to make the world a better place, because here's what I believe, that when people like us have a devotion that is undivided, then we can accomplish things in the name of Jesus that are unimaginable. That's why I would do this. That's why I would take time to talk about this with you all today, because I really believe that a group of people like us that has a devotion and a commitment and a loyalty to God that is undivided, I really believe we can accomplish things in the name of Jesus in this world that are unimaginable. Friends, right now we've been hosting over 100 kids per Sunday in MC Kids for like the last month. Moms and dads send us messages. They tell Lexi all the time about how, man, their kids love church. It's their kids that are dragging them to church, and it's their young kids that are the ones leading prayers at the dinner table. Jonathan and this team, they have created like the place to be for upwards of 50 teenagers every week at MC Youth. They're inviting their friends. They're praying big prayers. We see that the things that are on these kids' hearts, and it's amazing, and they're learning every week to live bold lives for Jesus. They may be kids today, but they're leaders tomorrow in the world and in the church, and our investment into the next generation has the ability to impact generations to come as we raise up young men and women of faith. We're seeing families all around us strengthened and centered on the Word of God. Women are coming together in mass gatherings here to support one another and pursue Jesus together. We're watching men come forward and commit to lives of integrity and to connection with other men. We're seeing the marriages heal right before our eyes, and we're watching them be built on the foundation of Jesus. We're about to link arms with an organization called Together for Good that you've heard about over the last couple of weeks. We're about to link arms with them so that no vulnerable family in our community would ever walk through crisis alone. And if the church steps up, our church and the three others that we're partnering with, if we step up like we hope we would for families in Western Wisconsin, then Together for Good said they're gonna have to hire a new staff member, right, for Western Wisconsin alone. And they're gonna be looking to their church partners to help fund the position. And we wanna go, hey, we're in. We don't wanna see vulnerable families walk alone. So we are in. Mid-Current, God is at work among us. Lives are being changed. And I want to see even more of it happen. But here's the reality. None of it will be possible, at least to the full extent that God is able, if our devotion is divided. If we're trying to serve both God and money. None of it will be possible to the extent that God is able if our devotion is divided. So can I just ask you then to ask yourself today, is your devotion to God divided? And if it is, and if you're unsatisfied at all with the reality, or if you're unsatisfied at all with where it is that you realize your priorities do lie, let me ask you, what can you start to do to correct that? I'm not necessarily asking you to like take some huge risk that's gonna put you and your family at danger. It's not necessarily what I'm advocating for today. You know, take a leap. I'm just saying, ask yourselves, what do you got to do? If you're realizing, hey, maybe I'm not where I want to be. All I'm saying is ask yourself, ask your spouse, ask your family, what do we got to do to begin coming back down one step at a time until we get to a place where we can begin to pursue the life
that God is calling us to, that we can begin to pursue the purpose that God is calling us to. What do we got to do to come down the ladder so we can get to the place where we can demonstrate the devotion to God that we might desire? Maybe you start dialing back in some area of your life that you know is just, you know, kind of getting away from you a little bit, dialing back in some area of your life that you know, man, this is not how I want it to be. Maybe you start by taking some small risk of generosity to God here at Midcurrent. Maybe you start a conversation with your spouse, your family about what it looks like for us to give first to God. Maybe you jump online to, you know, on the Church Center app or to midcurrentchurch.org, and maybe you start a recurring giving plan, or maybe you increase your recurring giving plan to take a small step toward greater loyalty, toward greater devotion, toward greater commitment to God and to His work in the world. Whatever you do, just remember, you just got to remember that when our loyalty as a church, when us together, right? When our loyalty and when our devotion to God is no longer divided, I do believe that God will show up in a way that we never could have imagined. And I, for one, would love to have a front row seat for that. And I'm hoping and praying that the same is true for many, many, many more of you. Let me pray. God, we pause here today, this weekend especially, to give our utmost gratitude and thanks to you, God, for how good you are to us. God, your devotion to us has never been in question. And we give you thanks for that, God. And God, we are mindful of the ways that you are moving here in this place, in us, in our lives, in our families, in this community, and in this world, God. And we're in awe of what it is that you are up to, God. And we're asking that you would help us. And God, in a way that only you can do, God, full of so much truth and so much grace, God, we're asking that you would help us to see where it is that we can join you more in the work that you are doing here in this place, here in this community, here in this world. God, would you help us to see any parts in us where our devotion might be divided? And God, would you encourage us toward greater devotion to you, God? This isn't about certain things that we're not allowed to do, we're not able to do, or we can't have, God. This is just about where our true loyalties lie, where our ultimate devotion is, where our hope is found, where our joy is found. And God, we want it to be found in you. So would you help us to see the places in our lives that may be divided? And would you help us to see what it would look like for our devotion to you to be undivided, so that we could do things together that are unimaginable, God? We commit ourselves to you. Commit ourselves and our families and the work of this church to the work that you are doing here in this place, God, and pray that you would be honored. And we pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Midcurrent Church. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Midcurrent Church is located at 200 First Street in downtown Hudson, Wisconsin. Be sure to join us on Sunday mornings, both online and in person, at 9 and 10:30 a.m.